Well, good news for the economy, with inflation hitting a 2.5-year low, with retailers slashing prices amid record summer rainfall. Consumer price inflation falling 0.4% in June to an annual rate of 2.4%. That's the lowest level in 2.5 years and the third month in a row that CPI has fallen. Let's get the thoughts of our man at the trading floor of Alpari, James Hughes. And James, it is good news for Great Britain PLC.
Yes, it is. I mean, for a long time, the governor was saying at the back end of 2011, the governor of Bank of England was saying that the start of 2012 was going to be the time when we started to see inflation fall back down towards this 2% benchmark. Of course, that's the government target where they want it. It didn't happen really at the start of the year, but we are now starting to see that happen. And the fact we're now down to 2.4%, which is very close to this 2% level that we always aim for, or the government aims for, is good news indeed. And I think it will reignite a few more conversations about maybe possible further rate cuts in the UK or possible forms of quantitative easing getting put back into the economy as well. So it reignites a few conversations. But there's just good news that a few things are moving in the right direction. Of course, petrol prices have been one of those big ones, but they've fallen over 4 pence in the last month. So there's a lot of positive signs here. Food's coming down, fuel coming down, and clothing all coming down.
And just as a side issue, James, I was reading over the weekend about oil and the fact that actually we haven't necessarily peaked in the supply of oil globally, and there's plenty more out there.
People have been trying to look for alternative fuels for years and years and years and years now, and it's been quite a big market. The companies that do look for these alternative fuels do tend to have done quite well for quite a long time. But you do get conflicting stories here and there. One person says that we're running out, and we're running out rapidly, and we need to find something else quickly to fill the gap, or others say that you just need to look harder, basically.
Indeed. Going back to the inflation figures, though, I mean, what the good news about it is, of course, there's going to be a mushroom effect with this, because wage growth will continue to be not too high, and that won't put another pressure on more inflation, etc., and all the businesses which are struggling at the moment. So it has a number of pluses, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest issue, of course, is the fact that prices are coming down, but a lot of the time we're seeing prices coming down at the moment because the demand's just not there. And as you say, the very wet weather we've been having as well hasn't necessarily helped. And you also get the beginning of summer, and there's always summer sales when it comes to the big retailers. So that's going to have a knock-on effect. And the summer always does seem to have this almost phenomenon on it where prices do come down that little bit. But as you say, the other side of it is that the fact that people's wages aren't moving anywhere near at the same rate to the upside. So I think it doesn't necessarily mean we're completely out of the woods. It's good news, and it's about time we had a bit of good news, but it's still a long road ahead to recover out of a lot of these things. But the fact that we're moving down there, and for every month for the last however long, we've seen the governor have to write a letter to the chancellor to explain why inflation was above this level, it could be that this could be his last one for a while, because we are looking very close to that government target now.
And how has the city reacted to the news?
Well, I mean, the city always tends to ignore a few of these real big numbers because it gets factored in quite a lot. So, and the markets are having a bit of a strange reaction to a lot of things at the moment, in the fact that they aren't necessarily really reacting too much. We're not seeing huge swings in these markets, even with the Eurozone crisis still going on. The markets tend to ignore them more, and you tend to look into those smaller things, like you say, smaller things, but like Barclays and like HSBC and this LIBOR scandal that we're seeing. So the markets tend to be a little bit numb to it.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the Eurozone crisis, which, again, it's gone through its sort of monthly sleep that it has, and then it sort of comes back to haunt us, doesn't it? Why does that happen?
Well, I think it's just been going on for so long now. I think every time you hear a little bit of news about it, the markets are almost taking the informed decision of saying, well, there is a bit of news, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything, and nothing has changed, and we're no closer to coming to the end of it. They just decide that, well, there's no need for the markets to move, so we'll just keep away from it. And it does tend to happen that way, that we go a little bit quiet on it until someone comes out with a statement as to how they're going to best cut things or that they need another bailout. And we've been going through this cycle, it seems, every month for the last 2 years or so now, so I would expect it to continue.
And you mentioned the LIBOR scandal, and of course Bank of England Governor Sir Mervyn King today faces questions from the Commons Treasury Committee. There will be some edginess about that particular meeting, weren't there? And there will be some people in the city who will be watching that closely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone's watching to see just, I mean, because we've heard from a lot of the Barclays executives already. We just want to know, really, and we want to clear up just what the Bank of England's role in all of this has been. And I think that's the cloudy area at the moment. We just don't know. And unfortunately, when it comes to these Treasury Committee questionings, we most probably won't necessarily find out anything too concrete within this one either. But I think that's the cloudy area. That's what people want to know, just what the Bank of England's role in all of this was.
Perhaps there are some people out there, James, who think, well, if the Bank of England was saying to the banks, come on, the rates are too high at the moment, try and do something about it, a lot of people would have accepted that at the time because they were high and they were trying to perhaps do people a favour, if that is the case, although it wasn't legal.
No, and I mean, it's one of those things that this is almost the Robin Hood aspect, isn't it? Robbing from the rich and giving it to the poor, if you like, because these rates were too high and that we needed them to come down, and that would then make lending easier to the general public if these rates did drop down. But of course, as you say, it wasn't necessarily legal, and that will be the problem for them. I think, of course, we all want these things to work out well. We want those rates to be low. We want the lending rates to be low for the public as well. And it then breeds the banking system to work properly. And that's what they will argue and say, that's all we were trying to do. But of course, within that, you need to stick to the parameters of the law.